Today we're going to be looking at the palace test. And the palace test, as we're going to learn, is a test of your stewardship. And so very important you understand that all of us, as believers in Christ, are stewards of God. So if we stand together, we'll honor God as we read Genesis 39, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes, and he became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. From that time on, that he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he refused. 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?' And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. 'Look,' she said to them, 'this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his coat beside me and ran out of the house.' She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story: 'That Hebrew slave you brought to us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.' When his master heard this story his wife had told him, saying, 'This is how your slave treated me,' he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did." Father, we're thankful for this, the fact that you were with Joseph. Even though things didn't go the way Joseph wished they were, you were with him. Father, help us to know how we can have you with us in that same exact way. And Father, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're talking today about the palace test. This is when God allows you to be placed in charge of something or someone. How do you handle it? The stewardship that God has given you. God has given stewardship not just to Joseph, not just to your parents, but to you as well. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord says, "By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We praise God. We're not saved by works. But that doesn't mean God doesn't have works for us to do after we're saved. He created us onto good works, which God planned in advance for you and me and every other Christian to do. They're different works for all of us, but he doesn't want us just to sit idly by while the world rushes on to hell, because that's where the world's going to wind up. He wants us to make a difference in our lifetime. You are not in your situation by accident. I don't care where you live. I don't care who you live with. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what your title is. God has a plan for your life, and he wants you to figure out what that plan is, and he wants you to carry it out in these few years that we all have to live. God has a plan. God had a plan for Joseph. The interesting thing is, when Joseph failed his first test, God wasn't done with him yet. And when you fail some of the tests God has for you, God's not done with you. God sends Joseph now as a slave down to Egypt. But the interesting thing is, because Joseph got his heart right. You know, the Bible says we all fall short. But it also gives us a way out. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, not only to forgive our sins, but also to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Joseph confessed. Joseph is cleansed. And the interesting thing is, as Joseph is going down to Egypt to be a slave, the Bible says God was with him. Now, God's with everybody, isn't he? All the time, because God's everywhere. But this particular word of God being with him means that God manifested his pleasure and his blessings on Joseph. It says in Genesis 39:1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. You say, how can you prosper as a slave? You still don't have anything. But you've got the blessings of God. You've got the blessings around you of those that do have something. Joseph is number two in the household. This is a palace test. What do you do when God advances you to a situation, even in the midst of all your troubles, he's advancing you? How do you handle that? And so this is a real test. The interesting phrase, and we're going to hit this many times during the message today, the Lord was with him. Folks, we mentioned God's everywhere. So he's with everybody in a sense that he's overlooking everything. But God is blessing certain people with his manifest presence. It manifests in your life that God's looking over you. Things didn't go just the way Joseph wanted them to go, but because Joseph got his heart right with God, he's now ready for the second test. He's put in charge. He's put in charge of all Potiphar's house. It says in Genesis 39:2 again, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes, and he became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. We all have the perspective that as soon as we obey the Lord, everything ought to be going great for me. Joseph obeyed the Lord by repenting, but Joseph was sold as a slave. That doesn't seem like everything going for your good. And yet, 1 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those that love him. Folks, is God showing himself strong in your life? Is God showing himself strong in your stewardship? Because every one of us is a steward. Whether you know it or not, you are not the owner. You are not in charge. In Genesis 39, verse 23, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Joseph was faithful in Potiphar's household. Even though Joseph's master's wife wanted to have sex with him, Joseph time after time said no. And we think, okay, the reward's coming, right? Not yet. God has a timing. God knows exactly when to bless us. Instead of being blessed here, Joseph is sent to prison because of his honesty. Sadly, somebody gave a false report. It's down, down, down. But this test, Joseph is going to pass because Joseph keeps living now by faith and not by sight. By sight, it can look like, Lord, I'm doing exactly what you told me, but things aren't going right. It's not fair when you stand up and say, no, I'm not going to sin, to have somebody make a false accusation against you, and instead of being blessed for obedience, you're cursed. But that's life. God allows that for our good. The Bible says if we persevere, we'll get the reward. But you have to persevere. And this is the difficult part of this test. How would you like for whatever you do, whatever you have, for the Lord to prosper it? That's what the Lord is doing for Joseph. It doesn't look like prospering yet, but God's giving him the training that he's going to need to take his highest stewardship, to come into his full potential for God's glory. And that takes some training. In order for that to happen, Joseph had to pass this palace test. Joseph had to be a steward for whoever God put over him and to show that he was faithful. The same thing is true in your life and my life. We are stewards. It doesn't matter if you are working for somebody else or you're the owner of the business. A lot of owners like to say, this is my company. But it's not. Do you realize even the owner of the business you work in has somebody over him? Our Lord is over all. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? You see, even the owner of the business is a steward under God. God allowed him to get the business. And he's responsible to his employees. The Bible tells us even how a master or an owner of a business is to treat his employees, because that's a stewardship too. We don't just take charge and do it our own way. In Psalm 90, verse 12, he says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It doesn't matter how much you own, whether you've got the biggest house on your block or not, or the best car, or the biggest boat, or the most fancy recreation vehicles, it's all a stewardship. It's all something that God has allowed you to acquire in this life, and he expects you to use it for his glory. We only have a certain number of days on this earth. Do you know the day of your death is already recorded in God's book? God knows exactly how long you and I are going to live. David said, before I was ever born, all the days ordained for me were written in your book. Folks, there is an end to this life. The Lord's going to check your stewardship. How did you do raising those children that God entrusted to your care? How did you do, if you live long enough, with those grandchildren or great-grandchildren God brought under your care? Today, Bev's home, watching four grandkids. Is that a blessing? I'm going to tell you, that's a blessing. I miss Bev. I'm sad she's not here, but she's doing something for her family. She's being a proper steward for the grandkids. Folks, that's a blessing. It's just hers for a while. How many years have Bev got with her grandkids? Maybe another 30, maybe. But then after 30, 40 more years, guess what? That's done. But she can be faithful now. And the same thing is true, whatever stewardship you have, you can be faithful now to that stewardship. And as you are, God is going to be present with you in a manifold way and bless your stewardship. The key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. We have two different men, both of them unbelievers, both of them idolaters, that took knowledge that God was with Joseph and that God was blessing Joseph. And if they would put their material under Joseph's care, God would bless them too. That's an amazing thing when the world can observe. I don't know much about that guy, but I do know this. Everything he does seems to go right. I can't figure it out. They may even ask you, why does it seem like the Lord's blessing you so much? And then you can tell them, because I've been faithful in little, God has made me ruler over much. When we are faithful in little things, some of the things of stewardship seem so unimportant. Changing that diaper, doesn't matter if you do it right away, or could you wait an hour or two? But it is important, very important to that child. God watches all that. God knows how faithful you are in those areas nobody else can see. And when you stay faithful, God's going to give you more stewardship. You're moving towards the goal that God has for your life. In Genesis 26, verse 12, not just Joseph, others too. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. When you get 100-fold return, how many percent return is that? It's a 10,000% return. Folks, it's amazing. Would you like to farm with God? If I'm going to farm at all, I'd like to farm with God. In Deuteronomy 29:9. He says, carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything you do. If we follow the Lord, now we're not under the old covenant anymore, so I'm not talking about keeping the law, but as we walk in the love of God and we're faithful to God, he's going to bless us in everything we do. Doesn't mean you're going to be the best at everything you do. I was a machine repairman for 20 years. I was not the best machine repairman. Not because I didn't try hard. The Lord gave me good success. I was a good repairman. But I wasn't the best because I didn't have those natural abilities. But I can do the best that I can with what I have. And the good news for us is God doesn't judge us comparing us with somebody else. God judges us just on our own merit. I tried to do the very best that I could. Was it as good as the best guy, the most skilled guy? No. There are some people that have natural abilities that you're never going to have. The boy or the girl that wants to be a great basketball, volleyball player, football player, whatever. You can do the best you can with what you've got, but you can't make up for natural giftedness. There's just no way. A lot of kids would love to play in college, love to play professionally. Never going to happen. Why? Because to play basketball at 5'4" or 5'6", you're probably not going to make it. Why? Natural giftedness. It's important. But you can make the most of what God has given you. I think of, what was that guy's name? Muggsy Bowes. He could dunk the ball. Amazing to me. I'm 6'1". I think he was 5'6" or 5'4". He could dunk. What an ability. 2 Kings 18, verse 5. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel. There was no one like him among the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given to Moses. And the Lord was with him. I love that phrase. The Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Folks, as we're right in our soul with God, God's going to bless us. Some more examples. I love the fact that God is pushing people forward. He's pushing you forward as you walk with Him in your marriage, so that your marriage is a wonderful marriage. He's pushing you forward in your jobs as you faithfully do the best you can with what He's given you. He's pushing you forward in church service. We start out doing what we can do. When I got saved, I knew almost nothing. So I cut the grass. And then I and Mimi started working in the children's church, and then we started working. I taught the boys' seventh grade class, then the adult class. We just start where we can, do the best we can with what we have, faithfully serving, and then God pushes us forward. People love to see people that are faithful. Even unsaved people love to see people that are faithful in their service. In 2 Chronicles 17:3, it says the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. He did not consult the Baals. 1 Samuel 18, verse 12. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men, and David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. Why had the Lord left Saul? Because Saul failed the stewardship test. Saul did not see himself as a steward of God. Saul made a statue of himself so the people could say, "Whoa, what a guy." When you start taking God's glory, God gave Saul some victory. But Saul, instead of humbling himself unto the Lord and praising God, wanted the praise of the people. And God departed. Why was God with David? David was not a perfect man. But David was a man who sought the Lord with all of his heart. In the book of John, it says, if we draw near to God, he'll do what? He'll draw near to us. He'll push us forward. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, and that's what Saul did, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Folks, you and I get to take the choice. Am I going to be a steward of God and serve Him for His glory with what He's gifted me with, or am I going to serve myself? If we sow to the flesh, to ourself, we reap destruction. If we sow to the Spirit for the glory of God, He moves us forward. He's with us in a very special way. God doesn't want us just to be obedient. He wants us to be willing and eager to be obedient. In Philippians 2:12, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. He made you for a reason. He gifted you exactly as He wanted you to be because He's got a plan for your life. As we honor Him in that, as we seek His will for our lives, not our will, He'll move us forward. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, the Lord says, see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you've not known. The children of Israel made a choice. We're going to serve the gods of the people in the land that we lived. And the blessing of the Lord went off their lives. They failed the stewardship test. You can worship the gods of this land. And you say, well, we don't have idols here, don't we? People spend all they've got going in huge debt to have the biggest house, the biggest car, the biggest boat, the biggest everything. And they wonder, why isn't the Lord blessing me? Because that's not his plan for your life. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a new car, a big house, nothing wrong with that. But when you're in debt head over heels, and every day you're worried about, man, I can't get sick one day, because if I get sick one day, I can't pay my bills. You've got a God, and it's not the God of heaven. It's the God of this world. In John 6, verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I'll never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he's given me, but raise them up at the last day. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Jesus said this, and I hope you can say this. The Apostle Paul said, all that the Lord gave me, I've done. Jesus said in verse 38, I've come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. If you'll live your life that way, you'll be a steward of God. He'll move you forward. He'll bless you in everything you do. It doesn't mean you're going to be the richest person. In this world's view, nobody was less blessed than Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ had to borrow a donkey to go to his own crucifixion? He was a fool in the world's view, but he was the richest ever in God's view. Don't let the world set the standard for how you choose to live. Live for God's glory. In due time, he'll lift you up. In Hebrews 5, verse 7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ learned obedience to God the Father through what he suffered. What do you suppose Joseph learned as he was suffering for God, first as a slave and then as a prisoner, each step down, because Joseph responded properly as a steward, took Joseph to the very top. And the same thing will be true in our lives. Our God has saved us not because of what we've done, but by total grace. But he saved us by that grace to do the works that he planned in advance for each of us to do. In Ephesians 2:8 again, I want to read this because it's so important. This is a foundational verse. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you want the Lord's blessings on your life, pass the palace test. Become a steward of God. Talks about Cain. Cain was the first rebel on this earth. In Genesis 4, verse 16, so Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Now, Cain didn't really go away from the presence as far as God seeing what he's doing. Cain went away from the manifold blessings of God and lived because why? Because God told him very clearly, exactly, Cain, the only way you're going to be blessed is if you offer a blood sacrifice. And Cain said, no, I'm going to give you vegetables. If you don't want vegetables, tough. Folks, you can do that. And Cain did that. How long has Cain been in hell? Not the lake of fire yet, but in hell. You know Cain's been in hell now at least 6,000 years? Folks, I don't want any part of what Cain did. Cain said, I'm not your servant. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. How many times have we heard that in our society? It's my body. I'm going to do with my body what I want to do. Folks, you can do that. But you're going to go out of the presence of God. I don't want to be out of the blessings of God. I want God to lift me up. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, it says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. Now, folks, we mentioned God's given 7,000 promises. Do you know this is a promise? If you conceal your sin, you don't repent of your sin, you are not going to prosper. You may prosper in the world's view. You may have all kinds of riches and all kinds of toys. But man, this just for a couple years and they're all gone. And you're out there with no blessing from God. No thank you. Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. What is mercy? I don't get what my sin deserves. Jesus paid the price. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God. But whoever hardens their hearts falls into trouble. How do we get an obedient heart? An obedient heart comes from faith. When you really believe what God says is true, when you really believe that God blesses those that earnestly seek Him, then you're going to seek Him. When you believe in your heart that God's holding out on me, that was the first sin that ever happened. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Everything they needed was all supplied. All they had to do was take care of the trees. But Satan said to Eve, God's holding out on you. God knows when you eat from that tree that He forbade you to eat, you're going to be just like God. Folks, it's a lie. Satan's still lying to us today. If you'll just have sex before marriage, man, you'll have it all. No. You're going to put yourself under a curse. You don't want to be there. If you just steal from your boss, think of all you could have. Is God watching your stewardship? I can't tell you how many men, I worked on skilled trades, and so we were always into the crib and out of the crib every day, getting parts and getting things. I can't tell you how many of the men, even Christian men, sadly, stole from that crib. Week after week after week, going out of that place with stuff that they should have never taken. How did God view that? I don't care if you're a Christian or not. If you're stealing from your boss, you're failing your stewardship. You're going to fail the test. He's not going to move you forward. Why? Because He can't trust you. If He can't trust you with your boss, if He can't trust you with your parents, if He can't trust you with any stewardship you have, He's not going to advance you. But when He sees you faithful because you believe God's promises, you're going to obey. Not because you have to, but because you really believe it's true. Why does a farmer plant in the early spring? Because he believes in nature. He believes, if I plant my crop in April, whatever, May, come along fall, if I'm careful with my crop, barring a flood or something catastrophic, I'm going to get an increase. If a farmer really believed every time I plant my crops, it's always going to go bad, they'd never plant a crop. When you believe the promises of God, you're going to plant in season and you're going to reap in season. Why do you give to your local church? Why do you give to Samaritans first? Why do you give to the rescue mission? Why do you give any place? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that if you're faithful in giving, God will bless what you have. And it doesn't have to just be to your church. It can be any place. It's a stewardship. God has given you all that you have. And he asks of you to return a percentage of that to him. You get to choose where it goes. But as you're faithful in that, God says he'll increase what he's given you. When you're not faithful in that, don't look for God to bless it. We're not talking about prosperity theology here. I've never had a new car. I don't care. Why? Because God had me put my stuff other ways. I never thought it was wise to spend that much money. The first year you own a new car, how much percent do you lose? You're losing about 25% of the value. First year. To me, just other people get new cars. Nothing against new cars. Believe me, I'm not against it. Our Lord gives us promises. He promised boys and girls in Ephesians 6. He promised children if they would obey their parents. Because even being a child is a stewardship. If you obey your parents, the Bible says it's going to go well with you and you're going to have a longer life. Folks, if a child believes his parents and the parents say, no, you can't stay up beyond 10 o'clock, you need rest or you'll be grumpy tomorrow. And a child says, my parents love me. Let's see, I know that. I know they're smarter than I am. I believe they're doing this for my good. I'm going to go to bed. And they go to bed with a cheerful attitude. All's well. But when a child says, my parents aren't very smart, I could stay up till midnight and I'd be just fine. Why don't we just do it my way once? Things are not going to go well. May very well be a little spanking on the way to bed, but the child's still going to go to bed. But rebelling against parents, rebelling against whoever is your employer, if somebody's paying you a salary, you can disagree with whatever you want to with what they say, but you have to do it their way. They're paying the salary. If you don't want to work for them, quit. But don't be a bad steward. It affects everything. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We've come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they that hardened and rebelled? Who were they? Not all those Moses led out of Egypt. Or were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Who were they who obeyed? Caleb and Joshua. They were the only two men that said, God is more than able to get us into the promised land. All we have to do is follow him. All the other men said, no, we can't do it. Folks, when you don't live by faith, when you live by sight, you can't please God. God is looking for stewards that acknowledge him as Lord and that believe with all their heart every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. If you don't have that kind of faith, where does faith come from? Faith comes, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, not just hearing it week by week, but having ears that understand and believe. Because you can hear it over and over and over and over and never believe it. But hearing it with ears that have an ability to really hear. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. If you believe that it's true, those men over 20 years old spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, heat and dust and no water, and they could have been in the promised land for that whole 40 years. Folks, Satan has come to steal and rob and destroy. He'll lie to you and say, don't do it God's way. Everybody knows that never works out. God says if you'll trust him, you'll enter his rest. He's given us a way of salvation that you have the privilege and the blessing of entering into if you'll believe it's true. Did God really become a man who died for my sin? Yes, he did. And if you'll believe it, you'll enter the rest of God. I know today when I die, maybe it'll be this week, maybe it'll be 20 years, I don't know, but I know within 20, probably almost surely, when that happens, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a perfect person. I'm going to heaven because I believe God's word. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I hope you don't mess around. Well, should I really trust in Christ or should I just really try to be a good person? If I'm a good person, I'll make it. No, you won't. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. That includes you and me, my friends. We need a Savior. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word. And that's what I heard when I said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You can listen to it all day long, or you can open your ears and really take it in. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. Stewards are judged not by what they say, not by what they claim, but by what they do. The bosses on this earth are all watching. They advance those that are their best workers. When I was in the shop, the best machine repair, or the best operator became a job setter. The best job setter became a foreman. The best foreman became a superintendent. The best superintendent became the plant manager. That's the way it ought to work in a society that's working properly. I know it's all messed up now, but that's the way it used to be. What our Lord is looking for is people who will take him at his word, trust that doing it God's way is the very best way to be blessed and to be moved forward by God. Folks, you get to choose. Am I going to listen to what God says and do it his way, or am I bound determined I'm going to be in charge of my life? If you take charge of your life, you're going to wind up shipwrecked. If you allow the Lord to take charge of your life, he will bless you in due time. Father, grateful for your word, grateful for the promises found there. Father, help us to be good stewards of this life that you've given us. We were not just an accident. We were planned by you. You planned it long ago, who were going to be our parents, how we were going to be raised, what we were going to do for a living. Father, help us to be excellent stewards, the best we can be, for your glory and for our good. And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.